Beautiful singing. That was awesome. I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but it's been in the bulletin. Next week, we are going to be dedicating a number of children during our worship service. And this morning, I met with the parents who are going to have that happen, and we talked about what it means and what it's all about. And so we're going to have a bunch of kids up here, and you can be praying for me as we manage all that. It should be a lot of fun. Very, very exciting. As I was thinking about the task of raising children, I was reminded that it's not a task for the faint of heart. It really isn't. It can be an overwhelming task at times, but I can also say it's a very rewarding task as well. And one of the questions that I like to ask, particularly if I meet people and it's their first child, I ask them very seriously, are you a person of prayer? And many of them will say a little bit, and I tell them very quickly, if you're not, you really need to be. You really need to start praying now and store up prayers for the future because you're going to need them to help you. So now, of course, I jokingly say that with people, and there's a lot of truth to the necessity of prayer for raising kids. I think we need all the help that we can get to be the parents we need to be and the families that God wants us to be. And so I'm grateful for all the different things that are available. You can read books, you can go to seminars, you can do all kinds of things. If you've never signed up for Right Now Media, there are tons of parenting stuff that's on there. Please, you can mark it on a slip and we'll connect you to that. But this morning I want to talk about what I believe will be the most helpful for parents and for families to be the most successful they can be in this journey that we called parenthood, or not just parenting, but also being the family that God wants us to be and He wants us to have. And so what I want to share with you is really based on the very first commandment in the Ten Commandments. And we find it in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, and it says this, "You shall have no other gods before me." So, okay, wow, how is that going to help us? Well, what's the principle? Well, the principle is exactly what I talked with the kids this morning. If we're going to have success, we need to put God first. We need to put God first. Where do you put Him first? In our lives, in our families, in everything that we do. And in this commandment, God says, I demand top priority of your life. I demand the top priority. And you could ask, why does He deserve to be number one in your life? It's pretty simple. Because He made you. He created you. He formed you. If He hadn't made you, you wouldn't be around. Everything in your life is because of God. He's given it to you and He's allowed you to have it. So why would we not make God first? If you look around and you look at families today, I could say very easily they're dropping like flies as we watch families fall apart. Why are so many marriages crumbling and families falling apart? I think it's because they're building on the wrong foundation. And it doesn't matter how much money you put into it, it's not going to last unless you build it on the right foundation. And today, what I'd like to do is look at the foundation of putting God first in my family, first in my life. I think it's safe to assume that everyone here this morning wants to be successful in your life and in the things that you do. So I want to take a look at a promise that God gives us in His Word that will promise us success. So I'm going to read the verse. I want you to listen for the promise, but I also want you to listen for the premise. Because with the promise, there's a premise. There's something that God says is your responsibility. So this is Proverbs 3, verse 6. I'm reading out of the Living Bible, so that might stretch a little of you here. We know it just a little bit differently, but I like the way this translation wrote it out. Everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Everything you do, put God first, and He'll direct you and crown your efforts with success. What's the promise? That God will crown your efforts, what it is that you're doing, and He says, I will crown it with what? Success. That's right. That's a wonderful promise. And that's what we all agreed just a few minutes ago that we want for ourselves and for our children and our families. So if we want to be successful, what is the premise of that promise? What is it that God says we need to do if we want to be successful? I'll read the verse one more time. In everything you do, put God first, and here's the result. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. What is it that God wants from us? He wants to be first. He doesn't want to be second fiddle. He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants to be first. And so the question is, how do we make God first in our life? What does it mean to put God first? Well, someone much smarter than me came up with an acronym. And that acronym is F-I-R-S-T. Can you say that word with me? First. It's pretty simple, right? So I'm grateful for these folks who are smarter than me. We're going to look at five ways to put God first in your life and in your family. The first one is probably going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I've prayed a lot about this and thought a lot about it. And the very first place that we need to put God first if we want to be successful is we need to do it with our finances. Uh-oh, money talk. I just want you to listen all the way through. Why would we be talking about our finances? Well, I think we need to talk about what the Bible talks about. And here, listen to this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. What is God saying here? What God's saying is, you give me the first of what I've given to you, and ultimately what I will do, I will bless all of the rest of what I've given to you. If you're willing to make me first in this, if you're willing to give to me the first, I will bless the rest. And all throughout Scripture, there are so many references in the Bible about God talking about our finances and actually revealing to us that probably money is the number one test of our priorities. You can learn a lot about what's important to us by taking a look at how we spend our money. You take a look at your checkbook. I know some young people go, checkbook, what's that? It's where we used to write down where we recorded our stuff. But our checkbook will reveal what's really important to you. It's not what you say is important, because we can all say, wow, this is important. But if I were to ask you right now, if you had your checkbooks, take it out and hand it to the person next to you, they might not know you very well, but they will know what's important to you by looking at how you spend your money. It will reveal the priorities in your life. And sometimes we might not want people seeing what we're spending our money on. In the Old Testament, and we don't live underneath the Old Testament rule or law anymore, they talked about the tithe, and you've heard the tithe many times. You can find it in many, many passages. I want to read one in Deuteronomy chapter 14. The writer said, be sure to set aside a tenth of all your fields' produce every year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God. It's a place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. And here's why. Is it because God needs your money? He don't need our money, okay? Here's what he wants. So that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. That's why he wants us to do that. What's tithing? God says in the Old Testament, give 10% of all I make and give back to me. Why 10%? That's what he said. You can argue with him about that if you want to. In the Old Testament, he said it's 10%. And the purpose was simply to teach the Israelites at that point that he wanted to be first and they could learn to revere him. So that you will learn to revere the Lord your God. Now that sounds like putting God first, doesn't it? For those of you who are sitting here right now and you're thinking, Wendell, you don't know how crazy my financial situation is. I live from paycheck to paycheck. I am in a mess and this sounds crazy to you. Please, I encourage you to just listen and not write this off in any way. Because I don't know of any clearer or simpler advice to give you as a pastor who loves you and cares for you to say that if you're in a financial mess, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is to make God first in your finances. Let him have a something from you. Because the reality is, whatever you want God to bless, you need to put him first in that. Now, the debate is, a lot of people debate, is it still the tithe? Do we give 10%? Is it still required of New Testament Christians? And you can read stuff all over on this. I'll tell you what I think. So here's Wendell. All right, this is Wendell. I think 10% is a goal that is a great goal to reach for in giving to the church. And in the Old Testament, it was actually probably 20% that they were required to give. There was a tithe and there was all these other things. And the promise here is that you will be blessed. So for some of you, 10% would be no big deal. Well, I would challenge you to give beyond that. I would challenge you to give that. For some of you, $10 will break you. I would still challenge you to say, God, I want you to know that my finances are from your hand and I want you to bless them, and I'm going to make you first in this. And he says, I'll bless you. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to bless you with the new house and the new car and the big ring and all those things you hear some of the TV preachers talking about. You will be blessed with success in ways that you could never, ever imagine and consider. Why? Because that's what God's Word tells us. And I said this when we took our offering. Don't forget that our giving is an act of worship. We're explaining, we're telling God that we know it's from His hand. We know that He's given it to us. He's provided all of our needs. And the New Testament challenge, I love this, and we'll close on the F of the first, is that God wants you to be cheerful. If you're not cheerful, please don't put any money in the plate. If you're not cheerful, don't give. Because this is what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 9. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Ready to move on? We'll move on from finances. So I'd encourage you to pray for that. So how do we make God first? Well, we start with our finances. Secondly, the I is with our interests. How do you make God first in your interests? Well, I think that means you make God first in the fun times of your life. I think it means you make God first in your recreation, in your hobbies, and hanging out with friends and being with people. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God. Go out to dinner for the glory of God? 100%. Have a great vacation for the glory of God? By all means. You name it. Whatever it is that you like to do that jazzes you up, you can make God first in that by some very simple little changes in how you look at what you're able to do. Because some of the things that you love to do, you can only do because God gave you the ability, He gave you the health, He gave you the strength, He gave you a mind that could think even just a little bit. And so what do we do to make God first in our interest? We stop and we have an attitude of gratitude and we say, God, I'm blessed to have a body that's healthy enough to go. Well, I can't say with sports. I was wrong. I can enjoy a walk. I enjoy eating. And Lord, thank you that I can cook a little bit. And just to acknowledge God and all the things that you're able to do that He's given you that ability. And I think it just puts a little bit of a twist on the things that we can do and we don't take it for granted. So you put God first in your interests. That's finances, interest. R is relationships. Put God first in our relationships. If you want God first in your relationships, that means you're going to have to choose your friends carefully. Who you hang out has a big impact on you. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Why does who my friends are have a way of impacting me? Why do I need to make sure I'm careful with that? I think it's because the people we hang around are going to be a big influence on us, and we'll probably become a little bit more like them because of our time with them. So if you spend time with people who take God lightly, who really aren't committed to the things of God and to the church, the pull is naturally to be kind of pulled away from that. And of course, as parents, We are very careful about who we want our children to hang around because we know that they have an influence on them. And whoever you spend time with, that's what you're probably going to be more and more like. And so if parents particularly, if we're interested in raising our children to have strong Christian values, those are the kind of people we probably want hanging out in our house. If we don't provide them with good models to follow, where are they going to get that from? Probably TV, from school, from the music that they listen to. I think that's why being a part of a growth group is really, really important. That's why I think it's really, really important that you have your growth group come into your home, because then your children can see people who believe in God, who trust God, who are growing, who aren't perfect yet, who are trying to figure out how to do this thing called life, being a Christian. And so the relationships you choose, I still believe strongly you need to be connected and impacting people who don't know Jesus. I think you need to have those relationships, but you need to have godly people around you to impact you. So we put our relationships on a very high standard. All right, how about S for schedule? None of us are struggling with our schedule at all, right? Our schedules are so free. We have all the time in the world we need. That's probably not true. God, put God first in your schedule. Put God first in your time. This is how Paul said in Ephesians 5. He says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Another translation says it this way, "Make most of your time, grasp firmly what you know to be the will of God." I'm pretty sure many of us wake up in the morning, particularly on the first day of the week when you go back to work, you look at your to-do list, there's 17 things on there, and you know you only got time for 5. How in the world are you going to get those things done? I think this is where you say, "God, I need your help to do the things that you have prepared me to do, that you've put in front of me to do, and I need your help and your wisdom to do the things that you have prepared for me." You think about it, when God made you, he made you with a plan, he made you with a purpose, and so he has only those things for you to do, and many times our schedule is so filled with stuff that doesn't fit with what God's will is for you that we leave out some of those things. "Well, I don't have time to read my Bible." What? We need to get rid of something probably. You need to change something. They might even be good things that you need to stop because God has other things that he has prepared for you to do. God will never put more in your schedule than you can handle or bear up underneath. He doesn't ask you to do more than you have time to do. And when you start to feel that those frustrations and hassles and being frazzled, it's because you're probably trying to do more than God wants you to do. So one of the ways to combat that is I think you need to make a daily appointment with God. We call it a quiet time, a prayer time, whatever it is. Whatever time it happens to be for you that works best. 5, 10, 15 minutes in the morning. Some of you are morning people. God bless you. Wake up early and read the Bible. Some of you can't even think until you get to the office. And so you sit in your car and you read your Bible for a minute or you pray. Some people, like Todd, go for a walk. They go for a walk at lunchtime and he prays and thanks. Maybe it's right before you go to bed. But just get your Bibles out. Talk about to God about the things on your heart. It's not when you do it, but you need to do it. Let God review your schedule, your day, your goals, your priorities, and realize that that's the best way to help your schedule to be put first in the things of the Lord. Think about it. Jesus took time out. He needed prayer. Many times, and here's one in Mark, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." If he felt like he needed prayer, don't you think we do as well? But it's pretty easy how fast those things just kind of slip out. I would encourage you, if you're a family and you have kids at home, take time before the meal just to stop for a few minutes, bow your heads, hold each other's hands, and just say, "God, we know this food is from you." The pattern that you establish with your children is very, very powerful. And it's a visible demonstration to your kids that God is first in your life. So I wonder how your schedules look. I wonder if there's any time, if you look at your to-do list or your calendar, is God in there at all? And I want to encourage you to do that. And one last place we need to talk about, and that's with our troubles. Anybody have any troubles ever? Things are smooth, fine, all that? Yeah. When we face unexpected problems and pressures, and when we come to those places that are just crisis, who do you turn to? God would say, "Turn to me first. Turn to me." I don't know about you, but sometimes that's not the first place I go. I try to figure it out. I try to work it out. And ultimately, I get to the end, I go, "Oh yeah, I didn't pray. I didn't pray." And God says, "That's really backwards. You really need to come to me. You need to come to me with whatever it is you're going through and know that I'm there. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. If you haven't come to me in a long time, don't feel like you can't come up." He says, "I want you to bring me all of those things so that I can help you and I can teach you in the midst of that." The psalmist said in Psalm 50, "And call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." There's another promise with the premise. I will deliver you. That's awesome. But if you don't ask for help, he really can't do it. So he says, "I want you to call out. Put me first. I don't care if it's been a long time. I want you to call me. So I guess the question for us is, how do we know when God is first in our life, when we've made Him first? I think the biggest way is that we're going to stop worrying about all that stuff that we worry about. I won't ask for a show of hands. There's a few of us who are worriers in here. And the reality is, when God becomes first, we can stop worrying. I think worry is that warning light on our life dashboard that says God is not first in my life at that particular moment. And when I start worrying, it's really saying that I'm starting to play God because I know what's best, or I think I can work this out, and that never works. And when God's not first in the area of our finances, guess what we're going to worry about? We're going to worry about our finances. He's not first in the area of all the interests that we have. We're going to worry all the way through these things that we've talked about. We can't handle it. We need to come to Him. We need to seek Him first. Most of us know that verse. It's very interesting. This verse, and I'm going to read Matthew 6. Jesus is in the middle of a sermon on worry. And this is what He says. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things that you're worrying about will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Praying and seeking God first is the antidote to worry. And if we want to build a successful life and a strong family, you've got to have the right foundation, and we've got to put God first. To all the families who are going to be up front tomorrow particularly, I want to encourage you to go home and talk about the foundation that you're going to be building your family on with the help of the church, which is the wonderful thing about being part of the body, so that you can take steps even now as young parents with their children to help them to understand how important it is that they make God first, so that you can lead and shepherd your children and they can come to know Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank You so much. Thank You that You loved us enough to send Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for Your willingness to lay aside all that You had in heaven and glory and took on flesh so that we could know You personally and understand You, and then to be able to have Your teaching to teach us, Lord, that we need to make You first in our lives. So I just pray that You help us each to think about these things we've talked about first, how we might do that or what steps we might take to move forward. I pray that You would help us to come next week and encourage these families, Lord, who will be dedicating their children to You as they make commitments to serve You wholeheartedly, and then ask us for our help to help them as well with their children. So we're grateful. We love You. Pray that You'd help us to be Your hands and feet this week as we go out. I pray that Your light would shine forth in our lives, and that, Lord, we would be instruments in Your hands. So thank You, Lord, and it's Your name we pray. Amen.